Well, good morning and welcome to this service here this morning. We welcome those. I can see them on Zoom. Nice to see you there. Thank you for joining us. And for those who are any visitors here, welcome. Pray that you will enjoy this service and feel blessed and encouraged as you leave this place. I'm David Ronco, a retired Baptist minister living in Hartford, and I've been coming to you for some years now. And I was here last June, and it's lovely to be with you again. So good to be here. The week after Pentecost is traditionally celebrated as Trinity Sunday, a day when we remember as the Church of Jesus the mystery and wonder of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Trying to explain the Trinity to anybody is difficult. It doesn't stack up logically in some ways, but it's a doctrine that we believe and is central to our faith. And it's something that arises out of experience as we know God as Father, Jesus as our Savior, and the Holy Spirit as the Helper. So here are some words from Ephesians chapter 4, which is a very practical chapter on how to live together as God's people. And Paul prefaces it with this statement about God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, being part of our everyday experience of knowing him in these three ways. So let's read these words together. There is one body and one spirit, just as there is one hope to which God has called us. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is one God and Father of all, who is Lord of all and works through all, and is in all. So let's celebrate the wonder of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as we sing that lovely ancient hymn, Holy, 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 God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Send.
Oh,
Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning as your people of all ages and backgrounds to worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We find it difficult to understand the concept of the Trinity, and yet we do know it in our daily experience. We thank you that we can call you our Father. We thank you that we can know Jesus as our Savior and friend, the one who walks beside us. And we thank you that we can know you as the Holy Spirit, the very presence of the Father and Jesus in our lives, within us, the Helper. And so we do worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and pray that we might know more of your presence in our lives day by day. We come to give you praise and thanks. We thank you for this glorious spring and summer morning. We thank you for the wonder of the sunshine and the beauty of creation. You are the Lord and Creator of all. But we thank you too that you are the Redeemer, the Recreator, the one who through Jesus has made a way possible for us to have our sins forgiven, to find that love that is unconditional and accepting of us, to find that hope, that peace, that purpose, that joy, that sense of meaning to life. And we thank you for all that we've discovered through our faith in Jesus. And we pray that we might learn to discover more and grow more in your wholeness that you desire for us. But we come also acknowledging our sins, recognizing that we've made wrong decisions, we've done wrong things, we've thought bad things about others, we've said things that are unkind. Father, forgive us our sins, we pray. Forgive us also for the things we've failed to do, to reach out to those in need, to speak out a word of kindness and love, to speak out a word of truthfulness and honesty. Lord, forgive us our sins, we pray. And renew us now by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for what we celebrated last Sunday, Pentecost, the power of your Holy Spirit to be the Helper. We need his help day by day, and we pray for that help again this morning. So we bring our prayers and ourselves in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Okay, how many need this reminder? Remember to say thank you. How good are you at remembering to say thank you? It's not just children that need to be told, is it? I think adults also need to be reminded sometimes just to be thankful and to say thank you for all that God has given us. I want to share with you a story this morning from the New Testament, and here's a picture that is based on that story. You can find it in Luke's Gospel. On one occasion, 10 people came to Jesus to ask for them to be healed. Now, they were suffering from a horrible skin disease called leprosy. And it really, in those days, there was no cure. And if you had leprosy, that really was the end of your life, as it were. You had to leave your home, go and live outside the village, and you couldn't have contact with anybody else who didn't have the disease. And so it was very isolating and very difficult to have that disease. And there was no known cure, but these people heard about Jesus and they knew that he had the ability to cure people and the power to cure, so they came and said, Jesus, will you heal us? And he said, I will. And I want you now to go, not to the doctor, I want you to go to the priests and just show to them that you've been healed so that you can then go back and live with your family, go back to work and go back into the village. So they were very excited, and they all ran off waving and very excited. They were healed, they knew they were healed, and they were going to go back to living normally. But can you see, one person decided to come back and say thank you. And there's Jesus figured in the white, up top left-hand corner, and one person came back to say thank you. And Jesus said, I thought I healed 10 of you. Why is there only one person that's come back to say thank you? A reminder, they were so excited about what they've been given, they forgot to say thank you. And here's a verse from the New Testament. No matter what happens, always be thankful. It's actually from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13. And there's a reminder to say thank you to God, no matter what happens. Always be thankful. And you know, it's not just a question of being, when we grow up, we think, oh, I've got to be polite and say thank you. Well, it is a matter of politeness, but it's more than that. Because if you learn to be thankful in life, you'll be much better. You'll feel better. You'll make other people feel better. It's a much better way to live life. It's a very healthy way to live life, to learn to be thankful. So let's be thankful for all that God has given us, to remember He's given us so many things. What are you thankful for today? Just thank God for the many blessings that we all have and we can all enjoy, because it's very good and very important to be thankful. It's very easy to grumble, isn't it, and to moan. Let's learn to be grateful and thankful. We're going to sing a song now that says, I want to be thankful. I want to enter God's presence with thanksgiving. It's a lovely song. We'll sing this and enjoy being thankful. And as we sing it through several times, think of things, especially today, that you're thankful for. I don't know what it may be, thankful for your family, about your work, the church, whatever it may be, about life itself. Let's just be thankful people this morning. Let's stand and sing and enjoy this song of thank you. And let's say thank you before we take up our offering. Father God, we have so many things to be thankful for. Forgive us if we've been in a bit of a grumbly mood this past week. Help us to be open to realize all the many blessings that are ours. No matter what happens, help us always to be thankful and to return thanks to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's now express our thanks as we bring our offering to God. Our God and Father, we offer these our gifts of money as an expression of our gratitude and our love. And we thank you for that reminder of the song that Clifford was playing. Your goodness restores our souls. Your goodness will lead us home. And we therefore thank you for your love and mercy which follows us every day of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Over to you, Raphael.
Good morning, all. Well, you got me this morning because Margaret and Kathleen are away, and so I have to take the church, give the church notices. Before I do that, I'd like to welcome our guest speaker, our guest preacher, Reverend David Ronco. I'd like to say thank you, welcome for coming, David, and thank you very much for taking the service today. Just a brief, you know, notice about the church, what's happening during the week, you know, here. If you get one of these, which you should have, should all have if you want, it tells you all the details of what goes on during the week, you know, with our church here. Like from Wednesday, we are 10:30 coffee morning here, on Zoom, and that is with Tamsin, and then the prayer meeting, which goes with Obed, you know, on Zoom. If you just look through it, it tells you all the details that you need to know about the church. So, our minister is away, Colin, and he comes back tomorrow. So, our minister will be. Colin Cartwright, he will be here next week, you know, to lead us in our worship here. So all it needs me to do is to leave the stage for once again, thank you for coming. God bless you.
Thank you, Raphael. And this is the point at which the children would like to go out to their groups, and we'll see you later. Enjoy your time together. We weren't sure whether there'd be many children here this morning because it's half-term week, but it's lovely to see you all. Is it nice to see you? Have a nice time. We're going to listen now to two passages of scripture read to us by Charlene and Shamindra. Thank you.
Morning, church. The word of God is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 34. That's the gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 34. Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him and in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, "If I had just touched his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around. in the crowd and asks, "Who touched my clothes?" You see, the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, "Who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing that what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Praise be to God.
The next reading is Philippians chapter 4 from verse 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
Thank you. We're going to reflect on that story from the Gospel in a moment, but first let's sing a song that reminds us that God is able to save us and bring us into a wholeness, to set us free as we put our faith in Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Let's stand and sing. Thank you for saving me. What can I say? You are my everything. I will sing your praise. You shed your blood for me. What can I say? You took my sin and shame, a sinner called by name. Great is the truth has set us free. You've set your hope in me. And is the Lord we cry, God, let your kingdom come. Your word has let me see. Thank you for saving me. Great is the Lord, we cry. God, let your kingdom come. Your word has let me see. Thank you for saving me. Great is the Please be seated. I've entitled my message, A Journey to Wholeness. That's a very good description of what the Christian life is all about, that as we follow Jesus step by step, we can grow into a greater sense of wholeness and healing and well-being. It's also a pretty good description of that story that Shami read to us earlier on from Mark's Gospel. That well describes that lady's journey. That lady been sick for 12 years, comes to Jesus for help, and she goes away a whole lot better. Can you imagine the scene as it's described there in Mark's Gospel? Jesus has crossed over from the other side of the lake. He's arrived in the area of Capernaum. And the crowd have heard he's coming, so they all gathered excitedly to hear him again. And amongst the crowd was a man called Jairus, who was the ruler of the synagogue. So that was quite an important role he had. He was the president of the synagogue, so he was well respected. But he had a 12-year-old daughter who was seriously and dangerously ill. And so he comes to Jesus and says, "Will you heal my daughter? Come to my house and heal my daughter." And so Jesus goes on his way, and the crowd's gathering around him. And then in that crowd, there's this woman who's been ill for 12 years. And she's very nervous about coming into the crowd, but she finds her way in, and she gradually edges her way forward, nudges through the crowd, and touches Jesus. And in that moment, she is made well. I want to follow through the journey that she's making, the steps that she's taking in coming to Jesus. Because we can think about the steps we take in our journey into wholeness. The first step is that her fear was overcome. She was taking a great risk coming out socially on that occasion. She shouldn't have mixed publicly, because that was the Old Testament Levitical laws that said if you had that serious hemorrhaging, you should not mix with others. And so she had remained in isolation for a long time, could not meet publicly and freely like other people. There was an awful lot of superstition that surrounded it. And we can perhaps imagine that. Do you remember the AIDS pandemic 30, 40 years ago, all the superstition that was there about should we touch people who had AIDS and so on and so forth, and also superstition and fear was generated. We had a bit of that in the COVID pandemic, didn't we, too? People got very uptight about what they should and shouldn't do. So we can understand how these things happen. And back then, that meant she had to remain isolated. And so she was taking a great risk by coming forward and getting into mixing in public. But she was so desperate to find healing, she was prepared to overcome her fear. Fear had kept her isolated for 12 years. And Luke tells the story, but he was a doctor, so he had a kind of a profession to respect. But Mark has no respect. He says she'd spent all her money on doctors, and they weren't making her any better. She'd wasted her time. She'd got to the end of her resources physically, medically, and nothing could be done. So can imagine how she felt. She was at the end of her tether. Life had isolated her. She was continuously unwell, and she was desperate to find healing. So she comes and meets Jesus. Her fear was overcome. You know, fear can still hold back people, can't it? It can hold back you. It can hold back me for all different reasons. A sense of guilt, perhaps, about something that happened in the past. A sense of shame about something we did. And although we've asked God to forgive us, somehow we can't feel that forgiveness. And we don't like to talk about it. And it kind of stops us from opening up to other Christians and other people because we don't want to talk about it. We fear what others might think if we start sharing our story. And so we keep it to ourselves. We sometimes feel we're not good enough. No, I don't feel like I can take up somebody's time talking about that. I can see other people, maybe I don't feel good enough. I don't feel that God really will help me. I don't deserve any better. All sorts of reasons can hold us back. Fear can be very crippling, very paralyzing. And I think the challenge to the church is that we need to encourage an atmosphere where people can feel they can start to open up. Find somebody they can talk to, the pastor, a trusted friend. In those days, there were a group of religious people called the Pharisees who went around looking for reasons why people shouldn't break this law, break that law. And that's what kind of created that suspicion and that fear in this woman. I don't want to be found out. I don't want to be judged. And she wasn't even allowed to go to the synagogue because of her illness. So she felt isolated and felt others were quick and ready to judge her. Sometimes the church has been a bit like that, hasn't it? And we just say, Lord, sorry that we were like that. Help us to be that place of welcome where people can come and be themselves and start to talk about where they need that healing and help from you. We need a human touch sometimes, don't we? If we're struggling with something, we might have prayed about it, but sometimes God needs to speak to us through another human being, another Christian, who can show love and understanding and acceptance. Therefore, we need to encourage that kind of atmosphere within our church, within our groups, and so on. As somebody once said, the church is not a hotel for saints, it's a hospital for sinners. We need to remember that. Those who have been on the road a long time can sometimes give out the impression that everything's okay and we're fine, and that's what church is. It's for people who've done well in life. No, it's for those who know they failed and who need God's help and mercy. So her fear was overcome, and we can do a lot as God's people in church to help people overcome their fears and find the healing that they need. A lot of people are going around in life still not able to share something that is holding them back. Fear was overcome. But then secondly, her faith was opened up. Her intention was to come and creep in very quietly, touch Jesus' cloak and gown and robe, and just slip away. But Jesus didn't allow her to do that, did he? He said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples laughed at him. "Jesus, what are you talking about? Everyone's touching you. There's a crowd milling around you. You've been touched by lots of people." That's a silly question. But Mark says Jesus kept looking around. He didn't just ask the question, he kept looking around. He was waiting for a response because he knew someone had touched him. He knew something had gone out of him. He knew that someone had come and wanted healing. Why did Jesus do that? Jesus didn't want to embarrass this woman. I think he wanted to draw out her faith. He wanted to open up her faith. You see, she had come with almost a superstitious notion, hadn't she? It's magic touch. If I just touch the cloak of Jesus, I'll be better. And Jesus wanted to move her on from that, to move her on from superstition, magic touch, as it were, to realize that he is the Lord of life who can bring her more than her physical healing. Over the years, I've met many churchgoers who are at that superstitious level of faith, almost touch wood kind of approach to Christianity. And the Lord wants to take us on from that, to get our faith more grounded and rooted. We sing that lovely song, "In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my rock, my help, my strength." So I believe the Lord tests us and allows us to be tested in order that our faith might be strengthened. Look back on your own experience. At what points has your faith grown more? Has it been in the good times? No, it's been in the challenging times, isn't it? When you've had to face up to a difficult situation as an individual, as a family, as a church, as a whatever it may have been. You struggled, but in that moment, as you look back, that was the moment when faith began to grow, because you learnt to move beyond that superficial faith and a deeper faith that was realizing that God is with you, whatever, and the Lord is there in your situations. But I think the encouraging thing here is that Jesus actually met this woman at the point of her superstition. He didn't judge her for that, did he? He met her at the point at which she came to him with that superficial, superstitious approach to faith. Just touch it and I'll be fine. And Jesus always meets us where we are. We don't have to get to a point where we've got it all sorted out, all understood, faith strong and no doubts and no questions. A mantra in my life has been this: Jesus loves us as we are, always loves us as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us where we are. That's something I've felt for many years in ministry is so important to understand. That wherever you might feel you are at the moment, however inadequate, however you might feel about others or what you feel others think about you, whatever you feel, your doubts, your questions, your insecurities, your inadequacies, Jesus loves you as you are. He meets you where you are, always. But in his love, he wants to move you on. He loves you too much to leave you where you are. And he loved this woman too much to leave her where she was. She could have gone away just with that physical healing, but he wanted to give her more than that. He wanted to move her on from superstition to a faith in him as the living Son of God. Let's allow the Lord to open up our faith through life's circumstances and challenges, to deepen it and to strengthen it, so that we know whatever happens, our faith is rooted securely in Jesus Christ as the Savior and Son of God. And then thirdly, her freedom was offered. She got much more than she came for, didn't she? She just wanted to be healed of the hemorrhaging. But she went home a whole lot better. She came forward with great fear and trembling. She'd been conditioned to believe that she wasn't wanted in society, that she was too ill to be noticed by anybody important. And Jesus reached out and offered her what she really needed. Wonderful word, that word, a daughter. He called her daughter. With that simple word, Jesus lifted that burden of rejection and isolation that she'd felt for 12 years. That was the way they worked in those days. That's the way the synagogue worked. That's the way their religious rules worked. And she felt she wasn't wanted. And she wasn't wanted by people. How could she be wanted by God? And yet here was Jesus reaching out and saying, daughter. He was putting value on her life, saying that she was God's child. Isn't that what God says to us? God puts value on your life and mine. When we become Christians, we are called sons and daughters of God. We're called children of God. Paul spells this out in Galatians 4 about the Spirit of God enabling us to call out to God as Father, Abba, Father. We're no longer slaves and servants, but we are children of God. What a wonderful restoring thing that is, to know that you're a child of God. That's a great healing thing, isn't it? To know that whatever other people might think about you, whatever you might think about yourself, God offers his love to you as a child of God. You are welcomed unconditionally by his love. Do you believe that? And so he then said, daughter, go in peace. That's a wonderful word, peace, isn't it? In the Old Testament, the word is shalom. And the Hebrew word actually means more than just peace and quiet. It means wholeness. Wholeness of body, mind, and spirit. And you can experience that wholeness even when you're going through a troubled time, because it's there to hold you. And that lovely passage that we read from Philippians 4, where Paul talks about the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. That peace that the world cannot give, as Jesus said when he was saying to his disciples, "My peace I leave with you." That peace which can make us feel whole and strengthened. That's what Jesus offered this woman. And that's what the Lord offers you and me. That peace. To know that you're a child of God and to know that he offers the peace of God which the world cannot offer you. As I say, that's not necessarily means that your life is going to be straightforward, because you can know the peace of God even when the storm is raging around you. Even when you feel that the earth is moving and things are difficult and you can't see but that peace is holding you. Somebody once defined peace of God to me as the awareness of sufficient resources. To know that whatever happens, there's the strength of God there to help you face whatever is challenging you right now. So that's what the Lord offers us, that freedom. That lovely song we sang a moment ago, your word, your truth has set us free. You put your hope in me. God puts value on your life and my life if we're followers of Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful truth to discover? And maybe you've forgotten that. Maybe you never really entered into that or realized that. But I pray that you will try to understand that and believe that for yourself. And those of us who've been on the path a long time, we've known it in our heads many years, haven't we? But maybe you've forgotten it recently and taken it for granted. Let's realize again how special it is to be called a child of God, to be offered that freedom and that peace. I took this title from a book I read some years ago. It's not in print anymore, but if you see it online, it's secondhand, it's worth borrowing and buying. Maurice Maddox's Journey to Wholeness, A Biblical Pilgrimage to Health and Healing. And that struck me, as I said, when I read it years ago, as a wonderful description of the Christian journey. It is a journey, isn't it? Faith is a journey. Life is a journey. And we won't be fully whole until we get to glory, will we? Till we come to the glory of heaven, when there will be no more suffering, no more sickness, no more death, no more inadequacies, no more anxieties. Won't be till then when we're fully whole. But I do believe that our journey here and now should be a step-by-step growth in wholeness. That you and I should be more whole than we were a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. That our faith has developed and we've now understood more and feel more healed and whole. We know there's still flaws and inadequacies. We know there's still sin. There's still things in our lives that we struggle with. But we're not fully whole. But we know we can see where that wholeness has been growing in us. And we can look forward to that day when we should be fully whole in the presence of God. How many of you count your steps? It's the fashion, isn't it, to count your steps. Have you done 5,000 a day or 10,000? Well, there's the on the left-hand side, that's the WhatsApp step, counting your steps, symbol. Well, okay, that's fine. You can count your steps to make sure you're physically keeping fit. But, you know, God's not worried about counting, you know, thousands of steps. He's just interested in the next step. And we can sometimes be overwhelmed. We haven't done enough steps when you're trying to keep fit. Well, okay, that's fine, but even more important, what's the next step you can take in your spiritual journey? Don't think of all the steps that others have taken or that you could take. What's just the one step you need to take in your journey at the moment? It might be a small step. It might be a big step. I don't know. God's not interested in how far you've come, as it were. He's interested in what the next step might be for you. And so that's the question I want to ask you now. What step can you take today or in the coming days to grow in your journey to wholeness? Where do you need to know the Lord's presence and grace working in your life helping you perhaps with a difficult situation, helping you to make a decision, helping you to open up about something you've really kept hidden and you need to talk about in order to find complete healing. I don't know. It may be a big thing, it may be a small thing. But what's the next step you can take to move on in your journey to wholeness? And then also, secondly, what can you do and what can I do to help somebody else in their journey? Because it's interesting, isn't it? On that day, who noticed the woman? It was only Jesus, wasn't it? Nobody else noticed her. She was anonymous in the crowd. And that's the way she wanted to stay. But Jesus noticed her. And there are many people who feel anonymous in our society today. There are people who feel anonymous in this church sometimes, because that's just the way it is. In any church, there are people who can sometimes feel anonymous. No one notices. No one knows really what's going on. And our task as followers of Jesus is, Lord, give me your eyes. Give me your ears to look out for that one person, to listen out for what someone has said and to go beyond it, to hear what they're saying and to hear what they're not saying, so that you can reach out to them and share the love of Christ and help them to journey on in wholeness. So there's a challenge from this lovely story. What step can I take in my journey, and what step can I take to help somebody else to reach out and help them grow in their faith and their wholeness? And so let's sing a song now, a very old song that reminds us that we have a friend in Jesus. And we can bring our prayers and concerns to him, but the song reminds us so often we forfeit that peace because we keep quiet about it. We don't open up. We hold back out of fear. So here's an encouragement for ourselves, and it will lead us into our time of intercessions as we pray for others and bring our concerns to the Lord for those who need his peace at this time. So let's stand and sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Please be seated. Let's pray now for our world in all its need and lack of peace. Let's pray for the church and let's pray for ourselves. Our God and Father, we pray for our world in all its brokenness and need. We grieve over all the suffering and violence that still plagues and ravages our world. We bring before you those ongoing situations of conflict in Ukraine, in Sudan, in the Middle East, in Israel, Palestine. We lift up before you the situation and tragedy in India. And the scale of that tragedy just is so hard to imagine. So many lives touched and shaken up and taken from and bereaved, and we just pray for the people who are seeking to bring help there. In all the areas of our world where there is trouble, we thank you that there are many good people, people of faith and people of no faith, who are seeking to do good, to help others, and we just pray, strengthen their hands to bring relief and comfort to those in need, we pray. We pray also for our own country, thanking you for the relative security and safety that we enjoy, but recognizing the areas where there is still so much insecurity, those areas where knife violence is still a very real threat. We think of lives in recent weeks that have been taken from us, families and homes that have been bereaved so tragically. And we pray for our government as it seeks to bring help to those in need. We pray especially about the immigration issue, and we just long to see a compassionate and just answer to this. And we just pray you'll give wisdom and compassion to those who have decisions to make. And for our world then, in all its need, and for all its lack of peace, we pray your peace. And pray that you will bless those who are seeking to be channels of peace in difficult situations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Father, for our church and for the church generally, we pray. We thank you for last Sunday, Pentecost, and reminder that the church was born on that day. And we thank you that your church down through the ages has been a constant witness to your saving grace. Many times your church has failed to live up to the calling. Many times it's become judgmental rather than welcoming and graceful. But we pray for your church today. We pray for our church. We pray for the churches in this town, that we may be places of welcome and healing, where people may find acceptance and love. We pray for peace and unity within your church in this country. We pray for healing of divisions. We pray for our own Baptist churches, and we pray for the Baptist Assembly gathering in Telford in 2 weeks' time. We pray that will be a very helpful and encouraging time. Especially we pray for our denomination as it struggles with all denominations at this time, dealing with issues of gender and sexuality and how to respond in a society that is changing so rapidly. How can we hold on to the truths and yet still be compassionate and pastorally understanding of the difficulties that people are going through? And we pray for our church here and thank you for it. Pray for our minister Colin and his wife as they've enjoyed this holiday bring them back to us refreshed, we pray. We pray for the church as it thinks about the youth and children's work and the future of that in the coming days. Give wisdom and understanding as to how best to develop this very important aspect of the church's life and work. And we thank you for the young people from this church who finished their university course. And we pray that you'll help them as they now make decisions about their future. Give them wisdom and guidance, we pray. And may we be able to encourage them as they make decisions for life. In Jesus' name, amen. And finally, a prayer for ourselves. What has spoken to us through the service this morning? Where are we struggling to find that wholeness and that peace in our lives? Where can we perhaps help others who we know are going through times of difficulty? Let's bring our lives and the lives of others quietly before the Lord now, as we just imagine those who need our help, as we think about our work situation that we go back to, our home situation, our leisure activities, whatever is in front of us this week. Let's pray that we might be people who look out for others, who have ears and eyes open to see those who others don't see. And give us grace to be able to reach out in kindness, in practical concern, in saying a word of encouragement, whatever it might be. Lord, hear our prayers for ourselves. Help us to find someone we can pray with and talk with if we need to. And help us to be the person that perhaps can be a listening ear to somebody else, a prayerful partner as they struggle with their issues. Lord, help us, we pray, to grow in our journey into wholeness. Thank you that you're taking us from this life into the next, that we already have the gift of eternal life, the gift of your divine grace within our lives. And we thank you as we look back over our lives for the ways that you have moved us on. We thank you that you always love us where we are, but thank you that you love us too much to leave us where we are. And so we pray, lead us on and help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear our prayers we offer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do go through after the service to the hall at the back for coffee and time to chat with folks. And let's pray that God will just use us this week to be a blessing to others. I've chosen to end with another traditional hymn, which is a Trinitarian hymn, "Lead Us, Heavenly Father." And I love the last verse, the line that says, "Thus provided, pardoned, guided, nothing can our peace destroy." And as we just pray to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we end our service, may we go out with that sense of God's peace that nothing can destroy. Let's stand and sing.
Yet undaunted through the desert.
May the eyes of the Father behold you, may the hands of the Saviour uphold you, and may the arms of the Spirit enfold you, and may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Amen.